Total Tuscany Podcast, number 52. Greetings and thanks for finding and tuning into one of the most popular travel podcasts in the world, dedicated exclusively to all things Tuscany. This is the 52nd Total Tuscany Podcast, and we are so happy that you can find 30 minutes out of your day to let us inspire your dreams of traveling to Tuscany and Italy. My name is Travis Justice, and in studio with me is Pat Capagna. Hello, Pat.
Travis, number 52.
Number 52. And together, along with the support of our wives and our family, we run the website TotalTuscany.com. Besides the website, you can also follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search Total Tuscany. We are easy to find. Pat, how you doing?
I am doing well.
You know, it's interesting because before we talk to today's guest, I want to let everybody know that Pat and I are going to get back in the planning room to start planning our next Total Tuscany experience. And we want you to join us this fall for what is sure to be an experience of a lifetime. So if you're wondering what one of our experiences looks like, go to the experience section of TotalTuscany.com and you're going to find the itinerary of the trip we planned last fall. While you're at the website, make sure to sign up for updates so we can keep you posted on the dates of travel and the new itinerary. I think you're going to love it, and I think we know that we would love to have you join us.
Yeah, we're kind of aiming toward couples, but we can go without couples.
Yes, we can say it's probably going to be no more than eight total people, but we've had some things change in the lineup since our last itinerary was released, so we have to kind of go back to the drawing board and make a couple of adjustments, but it's going to be, I believe, 7 nights, 8 days. You'll fly into Florence as normal, but it's going to be an experience of a lifetime, and we'd love to have you join us. And listen, as you'll find in today's podcast, Tuscany can be so just inspirational for many different reasons, and everybody has their own reasons for going. When we first went in 2009, I don't think you and I were looking for inspiration. We had this pipe dream of, let's take our families on a large family vacation to Italy, and we did it. And then we spent 17 days there, and we came back like, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think inspiration might be kind of a, I don't know that I would have come up with that word at the beginning. It's kind of a strong word. We were looking for architecture and wine, and then things changed.
It's funny because you and I are completely different with what we look for in a travel experience. You're the history buff. You're the guru. You like to just sit there and read travel guides and take in that knowledge. Mm-hmm. I get to sit there and drink wine and look at people all day. And I started taking pictures of elderly people just walking the streets of these small hilltop towns. And I just love to take it in and let it soak into my brain. So it changes each person individually, and everybody finds something different about Tuscany they like when they travel there. And, you know, today's guest is no different. The last time we talked to Lisa Condi, she was putting together the finishing touches on her book. Well, that wait is over. The book titled I Found Myself in Tuscany is getting rave reviews on Amazon.com. When Lisa's marriage and subsequent relationship kind of went south, she traveled to Italy for inspiration and to look for answers on what would be the next chapter in her life. Little did she know that at the time, her life was really about to drastically change, a change she writes about and now talks about here on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Lisa, the last time we had you with us, you were just finishing up your book, I Found Myself in Tuscany. It's now on bookshelves, getting rave reviews on Amazon.com. First of all, congratulations on the book. Second of all, how hard was it just to sit down and just write everything about your memoir?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for those kind words and for having me back. I love chatting with you guys. There is no question that the hardest part of writing a book is to just sit yourself down and write. And I hear people all the time saying, can you help me write a book? What advice would you give me? I'm going to some seminars. You know, there's seminars all over the place on how to write a book, how to get a book published. And that's all great, except really the hard, disciplined work is just to sit down and write.
I try to consider myself a writer, but I'm more of a short story or just kind of a, you know, a 500 to 850 word guy. I can't imagine putting stuff into massive amounts of pages. So let's dive right in. First of all, what's the book about? In full disclosure, I haven't read it yet. So, and I don't think Pat,
nope.
I don't think Pat has either.
Unfortunately not.
Tell us right now, what is the book about?
The book is about my first 3 years in Florence, Italy. And I'm now in my fifth year there. So I did have to dig back a little bit to express the feelings of what it was like initially, because now I feel very comfortable there. And I likened it to a love story. And each phase, there are three phases, and they correspond with the first 3 years. And in any love affair, the first part is the total infatuation, the head over heels, the everything's perfect. Why didn't I find this person or this place years ago? And then the middle section was, as we all do, oh my heavens, this person has faults and this country's falling apart and it's hard to live here. It's not what's shown in the travel brochures. I'm not sure I want, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And then the third part of any love affair, if it lasts that long, is just what happened to me in the last third of my book. Was I really realized I loved Italy. I love Tuscany. And I felt that it loved me back. And I had learned to adapt and to adjust and to love the culture. And so I think we're going to have an everlasting love affair. And that's what the book's about.
Lisa, did you have to secret yourself away and find some private time to get that done?
You know, I really did. And that's a good question, Pat, because I don't know if it's just that I'm not a skilled enough writer, but I found I couldn't even sit down and just like, oh, great, I have 45 minutes, sit down and get a start on the next chapter. For me, it was very much, I closed the door. I kind of set up my little space with a candle and I keep some pictures. If I'm not in Florence when I was doing the writing, I keep some pictures of my favorite spots in my city. But I set aside 4 hours a day to write. And towards the end, when I was also editing, it was probably 6 to 8 hours a day. So I'm going to be very honest with people that say, I really want to write. That was the kind of time commitment it took. But I have known people that have spent a couple of years writing their book, and I basically got it out in under a year.
So did you self-publish or did somebody come to you and say, hey, we've seen your success. We've seen you on Huffington Post. We've seen you on the Today Show. I think you need to write this down. So were you approached or was this an idea that you had?
And I wish that that had happened, except for the fact that if that happens and somebody does come and ask you to write, it takes a very long time to get your book out. I knew that I wanted my book to be a vehicle for women that maybe were considering my tour. I wanted the book to be a vehicle for me to do speaking. And I also wanted the book to be there for the women that I have met and on the tours and also the people that I've met, because the story in the book is a story I haven't told before. There are certain incidents that are in the book that led me to be in Tuscany primarily that I had never discussed before. And it was important to me that if I was going to tell my story, I was going to tell it all. And I was going to be very honest about it.
Did you find it harder? Was it easier to write the book while you're in Florence or in the States?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was actually easier for me, as odd as it may sound, to write the book when I was in the States. Because when I'm in Florence, I'm afraid I'm still a little bit of like a kid in Disneyland. It's hard for me to sit down and stay put that long. Besides, I'm generally working on the tours or I'm keeping the relationships going that keep my tours going. And I just found when I came to the United States, I could close the door, get in my little cave, picture my beautiful city and how it felt, and I seem to write better here than I do there.
You know, Lisa, I think we would both agree, and we do appreciate you taking time to talk to Pat and myself, that we're not your ideal audience. Two middle-aged guys that are married. So I think that can be agreed upon. However, let's go. You write about the first 3 years in Tuscany. Now, this is where I'm going to go all Charlie Rose and Barbara Walters on you.
Okay.
Let's go. Before you moved to Tuscany, you're a successful business person. You've been 30 some years in the fitness industry. You're married. You have a child. Where does that go south?
Okay. Well, by the time I made the decision, when I was standing in the coffee shop in Rome was 2012. I had been divorced for about 8 years and I actually have two children.
Okay.
And I was, that cruise in 2012 was supposed to be a birthday present for my then partner. And about 10 days before we were to leave, that relationship disintegrated to the point where that wasn't going to be possible. And so my daughter went on the cruise with me, which just turned out to be fabulous, because standing outside of the hotel waiting for the taxi to come and get us, I just realized that I really didn't have anything to go home to compared to what I saw in Italy, and I wanted to stay.
So the relationship goes south. Was it just that you guys didn't get along, abusive? Abusive?
And that's what I talk about in the book, Travis, that I haven't really discussed before ever. But I don't dwell on it. I certainly didn't want the book to be a downer in any way. But I felt like it was important for me at this point, where women can see, okay, this woman's 60 plus years old, doesn't come from maybe what we think would be a typical background of abuse. I had certainly never had physical abuse in my marriage of 24 years. Suddenly I am on the floor, literally, and wondering, how did this happen to me? This isn't the life I ever dreamt I would lead. And so I thought it was important to address that in the book and say to women, whether it's physical abuse, mental, emotional abuse, even if it's a job that's killing your spirit, you know, it's never too late to get up off that floor and go out and find some joy, because we deserve it. I think it's our birthright.
Not having had a chance to read the book, living in Italy, staying in Italy, did that help you heal from that relationship?
Oh, there's no question. And it also provided me with, and this was the part I did know I was going for, is having been divorced 8 years and had a couple of relationships, I thought, why am I continuing to attract situations that really aren't for my good? And I'm not attracting relationships that could be lasting partnerships. And I thought, I really need to put some time and distance between my old life and what I'm going to do next. And when I first went to Italy, I thought maybe I was just going for 3 months. But I thought that would be enough time. And trust me, I put miles and miles on my boots walking up and down the Arno, trying to figure out what had gone wrong, and more importantly, how I was going to live a more joyful life.
And that can be difficult. And Lisa, you and I might be kindred spirits, because and let's have a conversation here about abuse, because I grew up in an abusive family. I was never abused, but my father physically abused my mom for 40 years. So finally, after 40 years, they got divorced. I'm going to tell my mom she has to do your trip. I'm just going to say, Mom, you got to go spend a week with Lisa. And I'm going to make sure, I'm going to push her and push her to do so. But are you like me? I've been through lots of therapy. I have no problem talking about this. I find my therapy isn't best with shrinks or psychiatrists. It's when I can talk about it with everyday people and find that you have more connections with people who have kept those feelings or experiences suppressed. And once they talk about them, it's like this gush of emotion and relief.
Absolutely. And you know what I've learned through this, Travis, is that for shame to exist, there has to be silence. As soon as we talk about the shame, it's over. It's just what you said. Yeah. When we give it a voice. But I think the step after giving it a voice is to not stay there any longer, is to move forward. To whatever the lesson was, whatever, even if it was just, okay, that was a painful period of time, we have to move forward into really finding then what does bring joy, what do I like to do, how do I attract healthy relationships? I mean, whether it's male or female, I just thought, I just need healthy relationships.
Everybody has something that could shine a light on those issues and help them talk about it and get it out. What was it about Italy that actually helped you? What is it about the Italian lifestyle that lets you talk about these things that are so painful?
I guess it's one of those things that I wrote an entire book trying to explain, and I hope I captured it. It's such an intangible, and I know that you guys feel it because we've talked about our mutual love for Tuscany. Just the simple beauty of every day. The amazing Tuscan sky, the way the light hits the clouds, the sunsets, the food, the wine, the slower pace that people seem to enjoy families and holidays and meals. To me, it just all said, slow down, take your time, find your joy again, figure out what you're going to do next, but you don't have to rush. You don't have to figure it out in a week.
The book title is I Found Myself in Tuscany. You can find it on Amazon.com, getting rave reviews. It's interesting that you put it in three parts, and it's much like, you mentioned a love affair, but it's kind of like life. When it comes to your relationship, infatuation, oh my God, I'm in Tuscany, I'm in Italy, this is the greatest thing in the world. Then you have that doubt, what really am I getting myself into? Is this really meant to be? And then that total, let yourself go, I'm in love. So we've moved from infatuation to now, let's move to the doubt period. So I'm sure you have a lot of things, and that would be a foreign country with a lot of bureaucracy that's very much different from the United States. And then I'm sure even your people in your life back in the United States have doubts with you, whether that be family members or friends are going, what are you doing? You can't do that. Was that part of it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think we kind of have the notion from the movies that maybe this seems akin to is that, you know, a woman goes off and does this, but then she comes back home. You know, she comes back and leads her life here. And in that second year where I thought, you know, I really want to stay here. And even more than that, I want to create a business here. I want to switch from being a fitness instructor to owning a tour company. I mean, I had no prior knowledge. Then I decided I want to keep writing. So it was such a change in kind of who I was and what I wanted. And I think, as we all know, the people who really love us, who really truly support us, I had a lot of support from this side saying, this is very cool. You know, you go for it, particularly my children, tremendous support there. But yeah, without a doubt, I had people saying, what are you doing? Well, are you ever going to buy a house again? Are you ever going to come home? You live in this foreign country. What do you do there? So, you know, and I write a lot about that too. It really became a time, Wayne Dyer used to say, you just have to learn to be independent of the good opinion of others. You have to let it go.
You know, you bring up Wayne Dyer, who we all use inspiration. I mean, I'm a Tony Robbins guy. So, it's, you know, who did you turn to? What other authors or gurus, should we say, did you turn to just for inspiration?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked me that, because I write a lot about that in the book. And when my book was being edited, that was one thing my editor said is, you keep putting all these quotes in and it's kind of random. Either start the chapter with a quote or end it with a quote, but you just randomly put them in all different places. And that's one thing I really stuck to. I said, no, yeah, that's the way I use it in my life. All of a sudden, something that someone said will come floating through and I'll have that aha moment. Without a doubt, Wayne Dyer was one of the greatest inspirations in my life. I heard him speak many, many times. I met him. I was able to tell him before he passed the huge comfort that he had given me, inspiration he'd given me. I like Pema Chodron a lot when I was in my darkest moments. She would say, lean into the grief, lean into the pain so that you can truly acknowledge it and let it go. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of reading and walking and praying. And I think that is, at least for me, that was the medication I needed.
Lisa, I can't imagine, hearing your story and the way you're willing to talk about this, that you're not an inspiration for other people now. And I'm wondering if they've started to come to you and ask for some guidance.
You know, I do get a lot of emails about that, and more so since the book has been released. Have people on, even that have known me very well, that have said, I really had no idea all that was going on in your life. And of course, as you guys know, because you've been to Tuscany, even if people know you well in the United States, they can't imagine what you're seeing. They can't imagine how it feels when you're there for you. And people in Italy, my dear friends in Italy, they really didn't know about my life in the United States. They knew I just came home sometimes and was here for a while. I get emails every day from women who say, you know, your story touched me. And I think that's the thing, is that it doesn't have to be, our hurts or our hurdles don't have to be the same. It's just that it's that human connection of saying, yeah, I know what it's like to really feel abandoned, or I know what it's like to wonder how you're going to pay your bills. I know what it's like to be very hurt by somebody, but you can rise above it.
The journey started in Rome, then you found yourself in Tuscany.
Yes.
But you talk about, I mean, Wayne Dyer was a spiritual person, no doubt about it. And I'm not going to bring religion into it, but obviously living in Florence, you are around a lot of religious shrines, yes, churches. Do you find spirituality just coming from that presence?
Yes. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because I really don't, I'm not a member of any organized religion. I just think that it's everywhere if we want to look for it as such. But the ability to walk into a church that's just open all the time, even if it's just to kind of get out of the noise and the crowd, and to walk in and just sit down for a moment and have a period of silence, what a gift that is that Tuscany provides, these gorgeous structures where you can walk in at any time and just sit down and reconnect with your spirit.
So you go from your low point to the point of doubt to where you start a company, find yourself in Tuscany. It is a specialized tour for, I would say, you know, middle-aged to older women, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So when this starts to take place and you tell your stories on these tours, do you find women come to you and say, I'd love to do what you can, but I can't do it? And what do you say to them when they say that?
Well, and that is very common. It's very common also in the emails I receive to have women say, oh, you're living my dream. I wish I could do what you are. Of course, I don't answer back what I'm as blunt as I kind of think, but not everybody needs to move to Italy to heal, obviously. But I think what I provide and what I suggest is you need to identify what it is that makes you happy, what it is that makes your soul sing. And when you find that, you need to find a way to have more of it in your day. And I think every single one of us can get caught in the mindset of, well, yeah, that sounds really lovely, but I've got a mortgage to pay and car to take care of, kids, blah, 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 whatever. And I just think, now, if you really adjust your priorities, you can make it happen. You know, I certainly didn't come from a trust fund. I sold everything I had. I mean, I was telling someone the other day, I haven't slept in what I considered my own bed for almost 5 years. You know, there's a price to be paid for it, but the joy I have experienced, the things I've seen, the people I've met, just has made my soul sing. And that's what I was after.
You know, the interesting part is, and I think we can agree on this, is that even though it sounds grandiose and it sounds great, I think what you did is probably easier to tackle after you've experienced life, because you know kind of maybe how to get, you know, jump some of those hurdles. And your entrepreneurial spirit, yes, you didn't have any experience running a tour company, but you had experience running a business and operating, and that had to be a huge leg up.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing, and I didn't even realize I was consciously gravitating towards this, but the other thing is there is a similarity in running a fitness business for women and running a travel business for women, because my message was a lot the same. Let's get you feeling better about yourself. Let's get you loving life a little bit more.
It's so interesting to me because you're describing a journey of yourself, finding yourself, healing, and then helping others in the same context. It sounds as though you were at a really low point in your life when you found yourself on that street corner in Rome.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how many of the people you're coming across in your tour, in your company, are at those low moments?
Well, I do get a lot of them. And the other thing that I loved about putting this company together was because it tends to attract women in their 50s, 60s, and I've even had some 70s, a lot of times these women are solo travelers. You know, even if they do still have a spouse or a partner, maybe their spouse isn't healthy enough to travel or doesn't want to go to Tuscany. You know, they're brave enough to say, well, I can join this group. And we get a lot of, I keep the group small. They're never more than 10. So we get a lot of really great camaraderie and friendships. And again, it wasn't until I wrote the book that I really told women kind of all of the background of what led me there. But I think there was an understanding that, you know, by the time you're our age, we've all had a few rough spots. And I do tend to get a lot of widows. And one of the tours I had, five out of the 9 women had been widowed in the last year.
Wow.
So we called it the Merry Widow Tour.
It's never as easy as it looks. And in the end, it's not as hard as you probably thought it was. But, you know, I also think about it, and Pat kind of lead into it, is you were at a low point and now you're helping out. That's karma. You've been given many, many blessings, and now it's you feel that it's your job to give those back, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, it kind of alludes to your earlier question of, well, what is it about Tuscany that heals? I'm not sure I can even give words to it, but I know it exists. And I see it on the faces of the women when they arrive. You know, you'd have to be pretty hardened not to let Tuscany soften you up. There's just so much beauty there. The food's so good. We laugh a lot. The wine is great. It just kind of takes the day-to-day burdens, lifts them off your shoulders, and it lets these women relax and have fun.
You know, it's interesting because you talk to women, and we have a hard time convincing. And, you know, you run a tour for women. We have a tour for couples. And I think it's harder to sell the guys. And you've seen our itinerary. I think it can do wonders for marriages, don't you?
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, I would really encourage the couples, the guys to not judge until you've been there, because I have never known a couple to not come to Tuscany and have both of them fall in love with. For some reason, it kind of has a connotation of, oh, maybe it's something that the women would enjoy. But as you guys well know, what's not to enjoy about fabulous food and wine and views
and just being relaxed? And that's why that's why we encourage all couples. And if you ever have couples that want to go, send them our way. If you don't want the couples, all right?
You know, I do have couples approach me. Yes, absolutely, we'll do that.
Lisa, I know it can be hard, but it's also therapeutic to talk about it. I don't know if you've done as in-depth an interview like this on your book, but you've been absolutely spectacular and very open to your journey, and it's been a great journey, and we love following.
We love talking with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I love talking to you guys. I wish that we could just have dinner in Tuscany, though. That's the only thing that could be better than this chat.
We are going to make that work at some time. So I don't know when, where, you know, and we should be honest. You live in Florence and you also live in Salt Lake City, correct? So you kind of go back and forth between the states.
I do this year. I started doing that when I wrote. I lived there full-time for almost 4 years.
Okay. Okay.
But now back and forth, yeah. And it's a good mix to come back and forth.
Yeah, because you are still American. You miss there are great things about the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It only takes me about a week to get right back into my American girl mode.
Lisa Conde has been our guest. I Found Myself in Tuscany is the book. You can find it on Amazon.com. It's you've heard a lot of her journey here. Get many more stories and much more of the journey when you read the book and purchase it at Amazon.com. Lisa, great as always, and we hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Okay, I'd love it, guys. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Ciao, ciao.
What a cool lady.
She is super cool. And what I like about her, she's not afraid to lay it out, because we all have a story to tell. We all have. And if you don't think you do, if you think you're, well, I'm not extraordinary. Each and every one of us is extraordinary. It's just where you find it. And everybody has a story to tell. Steve Hartman did it on CBS News. Everybody's got a story to tell. That is so true. Lisa's story is inspirational. Lisa's story can be heartbreaking if you look at it. But there's always, like every good script, it ends the way you want it to in fulfillment.
Well, she's willing to open herself up for really in a very, very personal way. She's a real person, and you can just tell by talking with her now, she's touching people. And I bet you that the people that have an opportunity to go on her tours, the ladies on her tours, are having some significant life experiences.
So the book is I Found Myself in Tuscany. You can find it on Amazon.com. In fact, if you are on TotalTuscany.com right now, you're on the podcast page, just click the link where the book cover is, and it'll take you right to the place on Amazon where you can purchase it right there. She has a tour, Find Yourself in Tuscany. It's geared towards middle-aged women, maybe widowed, maybe divorced, maybe married, and their husbands don't want to go with them. But you heard her talk about it would be good for couples to find themselves in Tuscany, and it can be very therapeutic. Pat and I are perfect examples of that. We've taken our wives, we've taken our families to Tuscany, and we'd like to have you join us. Our new Total Tuscany experience will be released in the next month, maybe 2 months, and we're planning on a fall trip. Sign up for the updates. It's very simple. We don't email a lot. We don't spam you. We're not trying to sell you something every day when you sign up for an email list. We just keep that list to let people know, hey, we're going, and would you like to join us? And all you have to do is go to TotalTuscany.com, and there'll be plenty of opportunity just to find the place to sign up and give us your contact email. Again, we do not spam. We just contact you and say, hey, we're going. Join us.
And we won't give that information out to anybody.
No, we don't. We don't release any information because you are part of the Total Tuscany family. Thanks again to Lisa Conde for joining us today. Great story. Read her book, I Found Myself in Tuscany. Also, follow us on the social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search Total Tuscany, and you'll find us right there. Until next time, for Pat Capagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to the Total Tuscany Podcast. Ciao.